Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I welcome to the show John Cristani, who is an internationally renowned expert in affiliate marketing, and he joins me today to share how to become an influencer and sell products. Since involuntarily leaving his cushy job in the corporate world, in just a couple of years, he has gone on to build an empire in the affiliate marketing space. While in college, he grew really frustrated with the lack of real-world applications for the knowledge that he was learning, and he was feeling very anxious about becoming successful in the extremely expensive city of Los Angeles. I was born and raised in California. I know all about expense. Then he grew up there, so he worked in a corporate job at a marketing agency for about 2 years before realizing that he would never reach his life or financial goals reaching for someone else. So in 2012, he started his own business teaching affiliate marketing with the goals of living a low-stress life, making millions per year, pay attention to that, millions per year, and traveling the world. Now, since 2014, he has been able to achieve all of these goals, consistently earning over seven figures per year, and again, very important, listen to this, write it down, without employees. John, good morning. Welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here. I have questions, lots of questions.
Good morning, Denise. And I'm happy to share whatever I can with the audience, of course.
Well, it's interesting that you chose the affiliate marketing space. I'm getting ahead of myself because, I have questions. Before I go any further, tell people anything that you need them to know or want them to know that I didn't mention. And then let's talk about why affiliate marketing, because that's one of those areas, I'll be honest with you, I've never been any good at it. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Sure. Yeah. And the only other thing I'd like to mention is husband, father of two beautiful girls. That's the thing I'm the most proud of.
I can imagine. And you started this, if I'm not mistaken, you started down this road because you wanted to have, you know, be able to travel and have the family and be with the family and not just, you know, have to farm everybody off while you went to work.
Yeah.
So you started with a definite goal.
Yeah. I mean, the goal has always been to, family, you know, money, and animals.
So, I love
lots
it.
Of all.
What kind of animals do you have?
We have a dog. We have a cat. We have we were fostering four kittens. We're planning on getting some goats. We're really excited to get goats sometime soon. And I'll get a horse soon too.
Good for you. I have a dog and multiple cats. In fact, I have my own Facebook group called Feline Office Assistance for Business Owners who, we share our.
So you
right
are
now,
that crazy cat. Bitch.
I am. My dog is sitting here looking at me like, you're talking about me. And I have one of my cats has his own kind of he's so famous on Facebook that he gets Christmas cards. I am that crazy cat lady. So listen, let's get started on you. I mean, you sound like you have created the life that all of us want. I mean, without fail, all of us, I think, want to have family and pets and, you know, financial stability and building and creating jobs that you absolutely love, jobs for yourself, jobs for other people, businesses for yourself. Anybody who says because we're self-employed, we're not working a job, we are. We're working for ourselves. So let's talk about why you went down. What was it about affiliate marketing that attracted you? And I've looked at it a lot over the years, and for some reason I can't wrap my head around it. And I'm telling you, there's an entire audience listening to us right now going, shut up, Denise, let the man talk. So go.
Sure. So, I mean, affiliate marketing is, it's just commission only. It's just commission-based sales. It's, you put up, you know, we recommend products every day to people. And with affiliate marketing, you just, when you want to recommend a product, you get a link. And when you recommend it to people, you earn money when people buy. It's very similar to what door-to-door sales or telemarketing is kind of how I likened it to. You know, door-to-door sales and telemarketing are sort of ways that, you know, historically have not cost people any money to do. You know, you just need a little gusto to go out and knock on some doors or make some phone calls, and you can earn real money. You can earn a seriously large amount of money doing it, and that's what affiliate marketing is to the modern era. It's probably the easiest, lowest entry point way to make lots of money if you don't have anything on the internet.
I have to say the only time I have ever made any serious money was with a holiday website that I owned for years and years. In fact, I built this site on a laptop as part of my, it was my college final project. And it was massively popular. But I put Google Ads on there. And, you know, every season from September, October, November, December, even into January, that site made thousands of dollars every month, which, of course, went to, you know, it went to pay for the gifts that we bought for children to send to them. But once Amazon decided, in my state, the governor decided that they were going to tax Amazon, and Amazon said, well, can't work in that state anymore. And that there went that. It was gone instantly. I'm still mad. This was a few years ago. I'm still mad about it. So, but other than that, I've never had any real luck with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, well, you got to sell. You know, you got to really sell. You know, a lot of these products, the reason they offer commissions is because you got to really market them and help convince people, you know, to get these products. You know, I know one person, for instance, you know, one of my students, he did something really smart. So he would go on weight loss forums, you know, different fitness type forums on or Facebook groups. And he would say, hey, you know, he was a fitness instructor. He said, I'll give you a free consultation on how to lose weight. And he would give people free consultations on how to lose weight. He got a ton of responses. And then he would, and in his consultation, he recommended three different products for the person to purchase to help them lose weight. And if they bought all three products, he made $200. So, you know, that was how he did affiliate marketing. He used kind of Facebook group and combined it with, like, you know, a chat consultation, and each 15 minute consultation, he had the potential to make $200 from the products he recommended. So I'd say that's kind of one example of affiliate marketing. Another example of affiliate marketing is, you know, I don't know if you use any of the flight, or I guess maybe you used to use flight booking websites like Expedia or, you know, hotels.com. Yeah, those are all,
long
you know, that's
again.
All, that's, you know, that's affiliate marketing to the scale of, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars a year. You know, they don't own any planes.
Right. I never even thought of that as affiliate marketing. And something you just said is really important. You do have to, you know, actually write things and say, okay, one example is, a lot of these female influencers, you know, Amy Porterfield, and, you know, they're female coaches, they're empowerment coaches. Mm-hmm. And honestly, recently they've been cannibalizing each other, but that's a whole different story.
Oh,
but,
no.
Oh, it got really ugly.
By the way, your voice, I think your voice attracted my cat because Zeus just started, came up to my office and started going around my ankles. Now he's sitting on my lap.
He knows when somebody loves cats. He can tell Isis. But he's heard his name. One thing that I have noticed, you know, Marie Forleo and Amy Porterfield and a lot of these big name female empowerment coaches, they sell the heck out of each other, or they did until recently. I don't know how that's going to work out. But they will, it honestly got so bad that I would leave newsletters because every single newsletter that I was getting was talking about this, you know, product or event or this.
Yep.
It's like, God, y'all. I mean, it's like they all jumped on the bandwagon. It got very frustrating and it didn't feel real to me anymore. It felt wrong. It just did. But my point for saying that is not to bash these women. I belong to a lot of their groups and I have bought their products and, you know, I love their products. Please don't get me wrong. But there comes a point when you're each promoting each other to and leaving everything else on the table that you kind of lose a little bit of credibility for me. But they write beautiful copy. I'll give them that. I'll read the copy just to see what it is that, you know, how they're differentiating. Differentiating. All right, you say it for me. You know what I mean. You know, they're trying to be different. Yeah. I could hear it in my head, but it wouldn't come out of my mouth. But the thing is, they would write this gorgeous copy, and I learned a lot from the copy, but I also learned that, you know, if you're promoting each other constantly, you may want to start writing your own copy for yourself. But, yeah, that's another story. But you're right. You have to get out there and you have to actually work it, which I've never done. I'll be honest with you. I've just never found the time or the interest in doing that. But I may have to. I'm going to let you change my mind.
Sure. I mean, it's. I'd imagine, you know, and I do the same thing in you know, as an influencer myself, I do a lot of you know, my email list, if people don't want to, you know, I sell a training course on how to do affiliate marketing. But the fact of the matter is, you know, only a small percentage of people actually want to learn affiliate marketing. You know, there's or learn anything. So for people who aren't interested in affiliate marketing, I do the same thing with my email list. Is I show them other options. I show them other offers, other courses about different subjects. So if people don't want to learn affiliate marketing, maybe they want to learn e-commerce on Amazon. If people don't want to learn e-commerce on Amazon, maybe they want to learn drop shipping. You know, if people don't want to learn drop shipping, maybe they're interested in starting their own social media marketing agency. So it's just sort of, you know, I think in the teaching space, especially, it's fairly normal to kind of promote similar products, to people that aren't interested in what you have to offer. But yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying about, it sounds like the women's empowerment industry are going a little overboard, because I think there's such thing as kind of losing your credibility if you promote too many things. Can definitely be a problem and cause fatigue.
A bunch of us in this one group, we all know when somebody, one of these influencers, is about to, you know, launch something, and good for them. I'm telling you, I have invested a lot of money with a lot of these women. They're superb at what they do. But now we know when, you know, they're going to start up and something else is going to happen. And we all across the board kind of, you know, just shake our heads and we start unsubscribing. We just don't want to hear it. We're tired.
Yeah, there's definitely a kind of, I'd say in each market, that you focus on, there is a number of there's a particular number of how many products you should promote to somebody. So, for instance,
oh,
with
I didn't know
my
that.
Like for instance, with my student that did weight loss, you know, he found three products was a good recommendation. I believe he was recommending a meal plan like Nutrisystem. He was recommending a additional like supplement and some sort of fitness device, and he found that was a good mix. Whereas, you know, in niches like, let's say, hiking, you know, long distance or backpacking, for instance, you can, you know, what people want is they want a recommendation of 25 products to buy. Because for somebody that's going a backpacking, you know, they're going to want to see an entire Google document of their equipment list of what they should buy. And, you know, you can be an affiliate for all the products on Amazon. So you can get people to buy 25 products. And, you know, for anybody who checks out your backpacking list with all your affiliate links in it, that's, you know, that can add up to a lot of money. And affiliate marketing is all, and good sales in general, you know, doing sales in anything. It should be value added at the beginning. If you're not adding value, like with the aforementioned example of creating a list of all the equipment you'd need to hike the, you know, Appalachian Trail or to hike the Pacific Crest Trail, that's a lot of value to have a good list organized like that. It should always add value. You know, good marketing always adds information or value or education into the mix. And if you're not adding value to the customer or to the prospect, you know, like Expedia does, like, you know, like a lot of websites do, Babylist, then I don't know. You should always serve the customer. Always serve the customer. And again, always add value. That's just the best bare basic thing in sales, period. It's not about pressure. It's about adding value.
And you'll make money. It's not about the numbers. So many people, look, I'm a web developer. I'm a social marketing person. I'm constantly telling people it really isn't about you. You know, when they come to me and say, okay, I need a website and I want it to do this, 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 and this, and this, we'll have to talk them down from the ledge and say, okay, but what do you offer? How do you bring value to the people who are going to visit you? What is it that you're actually bringing to them? That's a whole entire different frame of mind. And honestly, I will find almost 100% of the time, and I'm not exaggerating, that when somebody says, okay, I need to do this, I need to sell this many things, once they start going, oh, okay, now I need to walk into my business as if I were a guest or a consumer or a client, and I don't like what I'm seeing, so let me make some changes there. Once people make that mindset, it's easier to, you know, write that amazing copy because now you believe what you're offering.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I you know, I used to be of the mindset that you have to, you know, do, you know, I'm a salesperson, right? So,
right.
You know, at heart, I mean, I sell over the internet, but I used to think that it was about getting better at marketing. For years, I just thought, oh, I just have to learn how to market better. And then, you know, I made the shift to realizing that it's not about learning how to market better. It's just learning how to really get to know whatever your audience base is that you're speaking to and just simply add more value to their life, whatever they're having issues with, whatever those unspoken questions are inside their mind's eye, address them, you know, and talk to them and add value and connect with them. It's about connection and it's about adding value. And if you're, you know, whatever market you're trying to sell stuff in, whether it's gardening, you know, or whether it's, You know, like I said, you know, helping people find a flight, or helping people, you know, helping people hike, you know, learn how to, you know what equipment to get to hike the Appalachian Trail. It's about knowing them, speaking their language, adding value, and showing you care. I mean, that's the ultimate best key to being good at marketing. It's not about yourself. It's not about what you know. It's not about anything about you. It's about them. And once, I think a lot of people have a hard time making that shift. They think sales and marketing is all about ego. And I mean, you've hit the nail on the head because when you make it about yourself, nobody cares. But when you make it about helping the other person with their issues and speaking to them and adding value, everything falls into place, and it's just easy. It's easy to make commissions. It's easy to sell, but it's a mindset shift for sure.
It is, very much so. I remember when I was younger, I was talking with, I think I was in a hardware store somewhere, and I was talking with somebody, and this very small, quite elderly man came up behind me, and he said, I'd never seen him before or since. I'm sure he's long deceased now, but he looked at me and he said, honey, you are one of the best natural salespeople I've ever met. And I just looked at him. I wasn't selling anything. I was just chatting with these people. And I remember, and I'm deeply ashamed of this now, that I was really offended by him calling me a salesperson. I did not like that. And now I realize that he was actually pointing me in a direction that I didn't even know I was going into. And I realized later that what he was commenting on was, I'm a storyteller, which I didn't know.
Oh, cool.
So let's talk about storytelling and marketing, because you're right. Nobody cares about us. Look, I have a computer science degree. Nobody cares. I promise you. They just want to know, can I build them a terrific website and get it out into the ether? Yes, I can. So, but
yep.
The thing is, if you can't, you really dig into your storytelling, because look, before we had the written word, everything is descended from storytelling, right? It was all, you know, what was handed down. What are we handing down, I guess, is my question. But let's talk a bit about storytelling, because you've got some terrific stories.
Oh, I love storytelling. So first off, I can go into my stories for sure, but I study this guy called Joseph Campbell, who wrote a book called The Hero's Journey, where he analyzed all of the.
Yeah.
Oh, you've read The Hero's Journey?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm a voracious reader. I've been reading since I was 3 years old.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I love that. I love that book and that understanding that model. And for all the folks listening, this is the story format of all of the greatest myths and religions in the world. And what Joseph Campbell realized is that all these stories follow the same format. And one of the biggest readers of this book was George Lucas, actually. And every single Star Wars movie,
yep.
Matrix, all these massive movies, basically any hit movie you can think of, Titanic, etc., they all took the format that Joseph Campbell laid out and they applied it to their stories. And it is just an ingrained natural thing for humans to respond to stories. And there's a specific format which you can follow to tell stories that will make them resonate more with the audience. And ultimately, you know, if you're going to use it for marketing, it'll just help you sell the heck out of any product you want if you just follow this specific story format. And it's been an amazing secret weapon in my arsenal. I totally suggest, you know, people read that book. Yeah. Hello, Denise?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Sorry, you cut out there for a second.
I think I accidentally muted you. I was pushing buttons and went, oh, geez. What I was going to
Okay.
say is storytelling is so important. But here's the thing. Politicians don't want us to think about this, but we all have some pretty good spidey sense. We may hear what you're saying. It can be a leader of any description. I'm just picking on politicians because, frankly, I can't stand them. But
Yep.
we tend to go with our spidey sense. Something may not make a lot of sense when it's proposed, and after a while, we work our way through it. Storytelling is important because if you start really watching and listening, and then, well, let me back that up a bit. You can listen all day long, but when you watch things happen, that's completely different. I actually just kind of lost my train of thought there. I have so many things going on in my head going, this is a terrific conversation, and I just lost my point there. But when people are, oh, I know what it was, and it goes back to the power of three, which you mentioned earlier, and I agree with you, don't ever offer anybody more than three options. It's just confusing. Offer them three terrific options and let them, pick what it is that they need, one or two or all three. But what's going to happen is that when people start really selling, and I believe this with every fiber of my being, if you're trying to sell something you don't believe in, you're going to fail. You have to believe in what it is that you're offering. You agree
Yeah.
or no?
Oh yeah, 100%. I think it also relates back to just if you're looking to start a new business, and you go into doing something that you don't like, or if you're working a job for a company whose products you don't believe in, you're not gonna last very long, and if you do, you're not gonna be happy doing it because if you don't do something that resonates with your soul, it's gonna be a hard slog, and you're not gonna like yourself.
Exactly.
I mean that goes back to the importance of just starting. I believe everybody should have their own business. Everybody should have their own website. Everybody should have something they stand for, because ultimately, I believe we're all unique in some way. We all, our circle of friends, are friends with us for some aspect of ourself. And you do so life's too short to do stuff or sell stuff or make money from doing stuff that you don't care about, just plain and simple. And there's so many people in the world, there's so many things you can be selling. Why not sell stuff that you resonate with? I mean, it just, it's,
Exactly.
yeah.
Exactly. When I got my college degree and I decided, do I want to start my own business, which I always knew I wanted to do, I'm a highly committed introvert. I do not want to work with other people. I don't do well in somebody else's office. I run with scissors.
You're a cat person.
I
So.
am. It's like, just leave me alone. Let me do what I'm going to do. I'll do it superbly, but don't tell me what to do. But what I found out was, I thought, well, let me go look for a job just to see. I wanted to have some options open. And across the board, whatever test I took, they wanted me to go for insurance sales. I would rather hit myself with my own car than sell insurance. So that was not going to happen. So guess what I'm doing now? But it wasn't anything I could be passionate about. I didn't even really believe in it. I still don't. You have to have it. But man, I think a lot of it is just garbage. But what are you going to do? So you're talking about expertise and passion, and I think those are two really important things, no matter what it is that you do. So that leads me to, how do you become an influencer? Because right now, everybody wants to be an influencer, and I'm not talking about the duck lip girls on Instagram.
Yeah.
Is that ever going to go away? That is just the stupidest thing I think I've ever seen.
I don't know. This is sad to say, but a number of those girls, I won't tell you the name we use for them, but the girls who just kind of show off their bodies or, you know,
yeah.
you know, stuff.
They're famous
for
not being anything. They're nothing, but they're famous for that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of those girls, yeah, I know a lot of kind of douchey guys out here in LA. And, let's just say a lot of those girls end up, kind of as call girls, expensive call girls.
Ow. I'm not surprised, but
yeah.
Ow.
I remember I went out with my buddy to some lounge. I won't go any further in this story, but you know, he was like, you know, he was hanging out with you know, his you know, the girl he was with, and he's like, "Oh yeah, she's big on Instagram, you know," and this is not his girlfriend, by the way. And you know, she had like 600,000 followers, you know, and I'm like, oh, and she's working like that. Okay. So, I won't go further on that story, but yeah, you know, if I don't know, if that's what your business is based on, is just showing off your body or doing, you know, funny faces.
You can say but. You go ahead, say but.
I don't know. That's you're not going to end up being able to sell much other than that.
No, and I catch myself wondering, because I'll stumble across these girls every once in a while, and I actually feel sorry for them, because I catch myself wondering, once this fades, because beauty fades, your butt lift is going to fall down at some point. I mean, things are just going to go south. They always, you know, gravity takes, you know, somebody else younger, cuter, prettier, I don't know, comes along. It's not something that they can do for a lifetime, but it does kind of tell people who and what they are. So how do they, and this is not a real question, this is just me rambling, how do they move forward from that? Because they've now branded themselves as kind of silly people, is the only way I can put it. Okay, so let's move on. I don't want to get us both in trouble with this. So you talk about.
I know how that some of them go for try to go further. It's
no. We'll talk later. So anyway, you talk a lot about the niche or niche chooses you. I'm in the South. We call it the niche. The niche chooses you. What does that mean?
Okay. Cool. I'll use niche. The niche chooses you. So the first thing is, you know, in becoming an influencer, I would say is, you know, focus on it in a general area. And, when I say the niche chooses you, what I mean is your friends know you and, for something, you know, if I was to ask, you know, your circle of friends about you and what they know you for, you know, they might say, you know, she's a really smart cookie. She knows, you know, she knows web development and computer programming like the back of her hand, et cetera. And in that case, you know, that's kind of what you're known for. But everybody has something they're known for, whether it's gardening, whether it's, you know, just, you know, so-and-so garden makes the best bell peppers. Or so-and-so is a great camper, or so-and-so just has an infectious personality talking about, you know, things she's learned. I believe everybody has something they're known for, and we've got to play into that. And if you don't think you've got something that people know you for, think harder or ask your
ask
friends.
Them.
Because,
ask them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ask
you know-
them.
I have found, and many of us found, that we are not at all what we think we portray at all. Once I, you know, got courageous, I guess, enough to ask people what they really thought of me, I was stunned. I had no idea. I thought I was kind of a single dimension person. Apparently I'm not. And I was stunned in a good way.
What did you think, and what did people respond with?
One of the things that I heard the most of was that, and look, I'm a cranky person. Yeah, I am. I know I am. I'm an introvert.
You're
a cat person. So I always consider myself as kind of tough, you know, kind of cranky. You know, I'm very, very good at what I do, and I know it. I don't, you know, suffer fools gladly. So I always just kind of think, people view me as a sardonic kind of a person, which I am. You know, I have a degree in computer science degree. My second was in sarcasm and being sardonic. But when people started saying, my God, Denise, you're one of the best consultants I've ever met. You're warm, you're witty. I'm like, I'm looking over my shoulder going, have you met me? I really, it took me aback a bit, quite a bit. And I bet you've had the same experience.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I'd say one of the things that I didn't totally realize about myself that people really enjoy is my positivity and my energy.
There you go. Right,
and I never thought about it like that, but that's what people really, you know, that's why people, one of the reasons people listen to me is because I am so positive. You know, I'm, I guess, straightforward. I never thought I was straightforward. I have a tendency to repeat myself. I'm Irish. And so understanding what people's perception of me really allowed me to do better as, you know, an influencer, because yeah, what I thought people liked about me, you know, my, which I thought was my sense of logic, was
me
not
too.
Was not actually
I'm very
thing.
Logical. Why don't people appreciate that? Yeah, I'm left brained.
Yeah.
I'm like, but you guys aren't paying attention. I'm telling you how to do stuff. Come on, listen to me. But I get it.
Yeah, so it's interesting, and just, you know, I'd say, well, you know, just being, I guess, persistent in kind of figuring out what people like the most about you and playing into that, playing into those parts, is pretty important, you know, to building an audience, is really giving people those, you know, those aspects of yourself that people connect the most with.
We hear a lot of these days about, you know, be authentic, you know, be, you know, show people who you really are and what you are. Look, for people like me, that is not easy unless I'm doing it without being totally conscious of it. Apparently I am. People, again, we go back to that spidey sense. People do kind of see what they need to see. But the thing is, if you are going to be out there, and we talked a bit about this, and you're doing your best to sell $1 million, you know, a month or $1 million a year, whatever it is, and you're going to do it by selling, let's go back to insurance, and you hate insurance, you better just go get a job, because it's not going to work for you. It's not going to work. You're going to have ulcers. Your wife is going to leave you, and your cat's going to run off. It's not going to work. Here we go with the cats again. But you know, you have to be, and, you know, one of the things, you've got three tips: be genuine, be consistent, add value. But you also have to be truthful. And I think you do that beautifully.
Well, I actually have a good story about kind of the third point I was going to bring up, which is I kind of modified some of my you know, I kind of added to some of my ideas about being an influencer. But my third point is really having to be an influencer, you have to have a lot of self-esteem. And one thing that kind of I encountered, you know, as a teacher, is once I started posting more frequently and gaining an audience on YouTube, which for those listening, I have a little over 365,000 followers on YouTube currently, and feel free to look me up there and join my channel or whatnot.
I spent some time there last night. You are funny.
Yeah.
You're really, really good at what you do. So anybody listening, go to that YouTube channel. This is my best tip for the day. Go.
Yeah. But what I realized, once I started getting more popular, I started getting the haters, right? And I started getting, once I started broadening my audience outside of people that were just, you know, super, super fits, I started, getting all this negative feedback, because the independent, like, teaching industry is, you know, where people are just, you know, teaching stuff on YouTube, teaching people how to make money. There's a huge amount of skepticism because the idea of college has been so firmly ingrained in people's minds as really the only way to learn. In the past, you know, really it's just been the past 100 years where people believe
that.
There's just so many people saying awful things. You know, I was called a Jew Nazi in one sentence by some angry person. Some people just go on rants and just like write every bad word they think they can.
Oh my God.
And for women, I mean, people are awful in terms of commenting on, you know, body related or, you know, image related stuff. So you've got to really have thick skin to get into this. And I started reading these comments and it was just, you know, when you're getting hundreds of comments a day, some of them are going to be pretty negative. And the negative ones were the ones I focused on. And day after day after day of reading some of these comments, it just really, you know, it really starts to wear on you. And especially because those are the ones you want to focus, you know, those are the ones you just naturally focus on. Yeah, it's really sad because I'm a pleaser. I think a lot of people who get in, you know, who are interested in becoming influencers are pleasers too. So it just really pains me to hear when somebody just, you know, in my mind, just doesn't get it or doesn't, you know, because that's the other thing. I think everything I'm saying is logical. So when people don't get it and they write angry things, it wears on you. Now, that wasn't as big of a problem until I started getting really popular and people started making reaction videos about some of the stuff I was doing and making fun of it or just playing up, you know, hating on things I did. And there's a whole niche of people now that are literally just try to, we call them anti-gurus, and they literally just rip on every single self-help person out there, you know, self-help or motivational, you know, influencer. And I've been one of the targets. And that was really difficult to see entire videos being produced and edited and made, you know, that were negative against me. So now that really hurt. And in fact, this whole, you know, number of people in my industry, in the sort of make money, teaching industry, influencers have gotten out of the industry because they couldn't handle the negative press. And I thought long and hard of how to deal with these people making videos. And some of these videos, by the way, Denise, have been seen by 100,000 people, the negative videos against me. So whereas a number of my competitors and peers, they got out, I decided to go the opposite direction. This is about a year ago. I decided to actually take this head on and just say, you know what? No, I have high self-esteem. I believe in what I'm doing. At the end of the day, I chose to work in a niche which I add value in and I believe in and I care about and I really like. And whether or not I was getting money for it, I would still be doing this. And that's part of the reason why picking something that resonates with you is important, by the way.
Because you can stand behind it.
Because you can stand behind it. And I debated these people. I contacted all of these people that were writing these, you know, really negative things about me. They'd be just making fun of the way I look mainly, making way the fun way I talk, making way fun of, you know, everything. And I said, I'll debate you. I said, if you really stand behind your stuff, I'll debate you. And, you know, I've actually gone on and done debates with the people that were hating on me, that got videos that had over 100,000 views hating on me and creating an audience against me. And I went on and debated them. And actually, debating them and going into what I call the lion's den was one of the best things for me as an influencer, because it brought an entirely new audience of people that, after the debate, a lot of these people respected me. And when they got to hear my side of the story, they said, wow, okay, this guy ain't too bad after all. Maybe, you know, he's one of the good ones. And that's helped me get actually a lot of very happy customers into my business. But to be an influencer, you have to have good, big self-esteem. You have to have thick skin. And and that it goes back to our first point, which is pick something you love. Pick something that you could talk about all day.
And see, you are actually, can you hear me echoing? I can hear myself.
Not really. No,
okay, I can hear myself, and it's annoying.
I'm going to turn this down. Sorry.
Oh, I have one of those voices. I can't stand to listen to myself because I always wait for myself to say, "Happy birthday, Mr. President." I think I sound ridiculous. But going back to what we have been talking about, you have to be genuine. You have to be able, but, you know, going into the lion's den is brilliant. Because it does, like you said, it gives you their audience where people can make up their own mind. You know, you're fighting for what you believe in, and you're not cowering or quitting. So, good for you. I can't even tell you how happy that makes my heart.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
When
I first started, I would tell people, listen, if you are going to be online at any level, whether you're beginning, whether you're an influencer, whatever you are, you better have a cast iron stomach, because if you don't, you're going to fail. You're going to fail yourself. You're going to hurt yourself by listening to these people, by paying attention, and then ultimately buying into their garbage. I'm nowhere near where you are as an influencer, and I'm actually kind of happy about that at this moment. But on iTunes, I only have one, and I would call it a bad review, and it was a 4 instead of a 5. And whoever this was said, you know, she has, you know, good conversations, great guests, but she talks about her cats too much. So guess what? I'm going to talk about my cats. You don't like it? Don't listen. And that was my attitude.
I love it. I love it. And you know what?
It hurt my feelings.
It's the reality of being an influencer is, you know, our circles of friends, you know, you can curate a circle of friends of people who like you, but once you start to really grow as an influencer, which you'll get hundreds of thousands of people that are watching your content. When you reach that level of people, you're gonna get some haters, you're gonna get some creepers, you're gonna get some people with mental conditions even. I mean, that's just the population. You're gonna be dealing with people from, you know, all sorts of levels. You know, even I'd say one of the hardest things is, you know, I used to have my address, my personal address on the website, and people would find my address, and I would get all sorts of letters from people saying, you know, their son is a military veteran and just got back from Iraq, and just, you know, and they saw my channel, and I'm so good at making money online, and if, you know, and they'd tell me a whole sob story about all these medical conditions that are going on, and my heart would just go out to them, and they'd ask me for money. And, you know, that's not, you know, having people just constantly, you know, send you stuff and sob stories, and especially in the business niche where I'm talking about, you know, how people can make money. You know, I get all these letters too from people just, you know, in these horrible conditions. And I had to stop reading them because it was affecting my ability to, I mean, it's really emotionally draining.
And imagine
one of these, letters. I mean, these are people like handwriting letters and sending them. And it's like, you know, telling me I'm their last hope. And it's just, you know, it's really sad. And I know I'm not their last hope, but it's a very emotionally draining experience. And, you know, I've put filters in place so that I don't see all of those, but it is definitely something to be aware of and prepared for if you're going to get into the influencer space.
And let's face it, a lot of what comes your way is scam. I mean, let's just call it what it is. A lot of it is going to be from scammers. So how did you find the guts, the courage, or the internal intestinal fortitude to go, you know what, this is part of the population. There are a lot of nutso people out there. I mean, seriously, people with keyboards can be the most dangerous people in the world. They really can. They can be hurtful. They can be damaging. They can just be downright nasty. They can also be uplifting. So you have to kind of choose what you're willing to filter back into your life. But was there a moment, I mean, I didn't know all of this, that you were being targeted like this. And I'm glad you're sharing this because, you know, these are things that people need to think about too. And before you start attacking people, realize that we're not single dimensional. We're not one dimensional. We're people. We have all kinds of things to share and things that have happened to us or because of us. We're not single dimensions. So was there a moment or a period of time where you just stood up straight? In my case, I do the Wonder Woman pose. You're not going to beat me down. You stood up straight and said, I've got this. This is who I am. This is what I have to offer. I'm not going to stop.
Yeah, I'd say I just, you know, one of the things is I decided to really double down on, you know, what I'm the best at and or what I believe can make me the best at something, at least on YouTube. And that is teaching affiliate marketing. I'd say, you know, I'm the best the most successful affiliate marketer on YouTube. And that's like a really specific kind of, you know, definition there. But I said, instead of focusing on just all business advice, which is what I had been doing, teaching anything about business, I teach people all the different business models and whatnot when I was beginning my YouTube channel. I ended up really doubling down on just teaching affiliate marketing and, you know, knowing that I was teaching what I was completely the best at and that I had a lot of value to give. And by just simply focusing on the positive impact I was making in people's lives and all of the things that were coming from it, all the lives I was changing, focusing instead on the lives I was changing, was a huge shift for me. And instead of looking through and responding, you know, my wife even would come in, she said, are you looking at, you know, are you, because I would argue with people, right? Like people would post like, you know, they wouldn't get something. I'd focus on all the people who were, you know, who had issues or skepticism about stuff. And I'd, you know, respond to their comments on my social media. My wife said, stop focusing on that. You know, like don't, you know, stop, you know, you're giving them more power. And I just started, when she said that, I said, you know, I always try to, whenever somebody says something to me, I say, okay, what if they're right? Instead of going into defensive mode, I think to myself, okay, what if this person is 100% correct? What would that mean? Because I used to get defensive a lot. And I thought to myself, okay, what if she's right? What if I just shouldn't focus on the haters at all? And I realized, and I started doing it, I realized she was right, and I just started doing
she
it.
She was. I wanted to chime in and say she was 100% right.
So, and that, I think when you focus on the positive impact, no matter how little it may be, you know, if it's just two people that read your, you know, advice on how to garden the perfect bell peppers and, you know, what fertilizer to use and what thing, shovels or whatnot, you just focus on those people that you've affected positively. It's, you know, that is the shift. Focus on the impact you're making, not on the haters.
Was there a point where you just said, I can't do this anymore, I'm going to go get a job?
No, I'd say there's never, that's never been a consideration. I mean, I'm very good at marketing, and I know I'm good at marketing, and I've marketed so many. You know, marketing is a skill, and I believe a lot of people think it's some sort of like weird, lucky business model that you kind of, you know,
you have to learn it.
It's not. Marketing is a skill, and it's a skill you can get good at. And it's, you know, once you have that skill, just like, you know, programming or sales or whatever, it's something that you have for the rest of your life. So I know I don't ever need to get a job because I'm good at marketing. I could sell any company's product, given some time to do research and testing. I suggest anybody learn marketing because it's such an invaluable skill, especially in today's day and age where everything is done through the internet. If you don't have a web presence and if you don't know how to get yourself out there on the web, look, we're all stuck in our homes right now. So you're just dead in the water.
Absolutely. I've said this forever. I mean, you really need to have some kind of presence on the internet. That's your real estate. That's your virtual real estate. And, you know, the worst thing you can do, though, as a web developer, is hire somebody who builds you a pretty boat anchor that does nothing. Don't do that. That's my best advice for the day. Well, my first advice is go to your YouTube channel. My other is, you know, don't just plunk a website up there and think that people are going to come. They're not. So, but that takes me back to marketing versus sales. And I think a lot of people, oh, wow, we've only got 2.5 minutes. This went really quick. I'm going to have to get you to come back. Would. Oh, good. You know, I did that on the radio, so you can't tell me no, right? It's very tricky. So
we can tell some cat stories. I've a lot of funny cat stories.
Oh, listen, one of mine, and for the lady who doesn't like my cat stories, one of my gingers, he and his brother, their birthday was yesterday. They're 4 years old. His name is hashtag Hamilton is an ass. When I tell you he gets Christmas cards, I kid you not. He's 18 pounds and he's nuts and I love him. He's the funniest cat I've ever met in my life. I raised him since they were 6 weeks old. But here's the thing. One of the things that, 90 seconds. One of the things that I'm picking up from you is your passion for what you do. And you're very clear that you are really, really, really good at what you do. And I think that's the most positive thing you can ever do for yourself is to say, look, this is what I bring to the table. I'm very good at what I do. I don't need to be humble. Here we go. So what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've spent a lot of time developing a skill, and I think it's important to know your value, you know, especially because I think it's just important to know your value. If you don't know your value, I think a lot of people suffer from kind of self-love issues, and I definitely used to. But once you learn to love yourself and appreciate yourself for what you're good at and what you do, you're just able to offer more to the world.
Exactly. Once you understand who you are and what you do and why you do it, big, big important. And we didn't get to talk about sales versus marketing. We'll talk about that the next time. John, it has been fascinating chatting with you. And tell Zeus, you know, give him a big pat on the head for me. where can people find you?
People can find me, just search my name, on YouTube. It's John Cristani, J-O-H-N. Last name is Italian, C-R-E-S-T, like the toothpaste, and then A-N-I, like the bird, Cristani.
Excellent. Listen, those YouTube, I got immersed in those last night. I was like, I wish I could do some of this stuff. And then I have to tell you, when I go to bed at night, I always, before I'm finally ready to go to sleep, I don't sleep well. It's always been an issue with me. But when I know I'm just about to finally drop into sleep and I've said my prayers, I will turn over something that is bothering me or I need an answer to my subconscious for review. And one of the things that I turned over to my subconscious for review is, why can't I be more like him? So here we go. I am going to be dogging your footsteps, just so you know. I'm going to be lurking.
Well, I'm happy I made an impact.
Well, you made it into my subconscious. So when I woke up at 3:18 this morning, the first question was, the answer was, go find, go listen. I had actually marked a couple of your videos, so they're on my list of things to do. John, thank you so much for being here with me today. It's been wonderful speaking with you, and I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice and the passion that you brought to our audience. And honestly, thank you for sharing those stories about the haters. These days, I think it's important to know who you are and what you bring and who you should pay attention to and what, those people you ought to just go, We do in the South what we call a pishne. Do you know what a pishne is?
No.
It's where, remember, your uncle would always come up behind you, or your grandfather or somebody would come up behind you and flick your ear with their finger. That's a pishne.
Oh, yeah.
So when I come across people like that, I just do a mental pishne and I, flip them right off my desk. They're gone. So anyway, before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes and anywhere else you consume your business podcast. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. John, again, thank you so much.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.